Hi, I'm Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you will hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matters. AMA's Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. The AMA is a global leader in professional development and education, improving the immediate performance and long-term growth of individuals and organizations. Check us out on our website, www.amanet.org. Setting up a network of contacts is the single most important thing people can do to protect and advance their careers. Many people approach it with fear and uncertainty over how to make contacts, how to keep them, and how to get the most out of them. Lynn Wayman leads Contacts Count, a consulting and training firm for business and career networking. Her new book, Make Your Contacts Count, published by Amacom Books, is a practical, step-by-step guide for creating, cultivating, and capitalizing on networking opportunities and relationships. Welcome, Lynn. Let's get started here. Is there any research out there that you've drawn from to make your own recommendations on effective networking?
Let me tell you about some statistics that we have uncovered here in our Contacts Count research. One of the most startling is that almost 60% of all Americans say that they feel shy or uncomfortable in a variety of business and social situations. Now, that research was done at Stanford University by the Shyness Institute, and they've been studying patterns of shyness in Americans for the last 30 years. It used to be that only about 40% of us said that, but now almost 60% of us say that we feel shy and uncomfortable. And when I say that in a keynote, most people say, oh, it's because we're so much at the computer and the keyboard. You know, we don't have the experience with people, just chatting with them. So that's probably true. Another startling statistic that lets me know that most of the people attending networking events need a little help is that 93% of all business cards that are exchanged are thrown away within the first 24 hours. Now, what that tells me is that they're exchanged with no purpose, for no reason. And so in our book, we explain that you must have a reason for exchanging a business card, and you should pour your energy into the conversation looking for either a commonality or a need so that you actually have a reason to exchange business cards. Another startling statistic that we've gathered by doing workshops and keynotes is that 97% of all people say they have trouble remembering names. And so that's a crucial moment. 65% of the people we've surveyed say that they don't really know what to talk about in order to build a relationship. You know, there are so many possible topics out there that somebody could introduce into a conversation. And so choosing a topic and knowing what you want to talk about is very important. One of our clients said, you've got to be prepared to be spontaneous. And that is the absolute truth.
What's the one skill out of all the skills you mentioned in your book that every networker really has to master?
Well, I think the one paramount skill is knowing how to teach your character and competence through a variety of stories. Now, one story that people always ask for is asked through the "what do you do" question. Gets asked over and over and over at networking events. So that's one chance to tell a very brief vignette about what you do and to teach your character and competence. And the expert networkers know how to do that. Another possibility is just in conversation. Suppose you're in a taxi cab with your client, or you're at a networking event, or you're having lunch with an old friend or a coworker. That's a chance to pepper your conversation with examples, stories, or vignettes that tell people about your character and competence so they can experience you and your leisure and professional life and hear stories that tell who you are.
How should people prepare to talk about themselves?
Well, I think that you certainly should think very carefully about how to answer the "what do you do" question. We recommend that you give a two-sentence answer. We call it the best test answer in the Make Your Contacts Count book. And the first sentence tells one thing you do best, one talent or skill that you want to teach people about you. And then the second sentence, the test part, is kind of like a testimonial in a way. It gives an example or tells about a time that you saved the day or solved the problem or served the client. And there's a whole chapter in the book about that. So you can see that does take a little preparation to think through what you want to say for that very crucial question. We recommend to our clients that they have 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 different answers depending on who they think they're talking to or the venue that they're in. I mean, you'd give a different answer if you were at a Board of Trade meeting than if you were at a backyard barbecue, probably a little more informal answer at the barbecue.
I've heard people say something like, I hate networking. It's not for me. I'm not good at making idle conversation. What's the point anyway? I mean, do people have to change their personalities to become good networkers?
Well, this is a very interesting aspect of networking to me. We've been teaching people for 17 years now how to build their networks. And there certainly are some people who seem to have a knack for it. They seem to have a gift for the gab. But even they need to learn a few skills. Sometimes they need to learn to talk less and ask better questions. But the people who say, well, I'm introverted or I hate networking, they like our system because it is a system. It is a set of skills that they can learn over time. They don't have to change their personalities to become good networkers, but they do need to learn, for instance, about the 3 key moments of networking. We've already talked about 2 of them. The first one is the name exchange, where you give your name and I give my name. And we have specific strategies in our book about how to make that work so that you can remember somebody's name. The second key moment is answering the what do you do question. And again, there's a whole chapter on how to do that, how to craft a good answer. The third key moment is when people say, how are you? What's new? And usually, unfortunately, the conversation goes, how are you? Not bad. Or what's new? Not much. So it's not a matter of changing your personality, but just learning some skills.
Okay, everybody's busy at work, and some managers even label networking as not working. What are some of the best reasons people should actually take more time to network on the job?
Well, we've uncovered lots and lots of reasons as we've worked with large corporations like Booz Allen and Pricewaterhouse and Deloitte Touche and Lockheed Martin. And actually, internal networking is enjoying quite a lot of popularity right now. About 90% of all the Fortune 500 companies have or will very soon have what they call affinity groups so that people can get to know each other across the organizational chart. Affinity groups for women or for Black Americans or for gay, lesbian, or also they start communities of practice so people across the organizational chart can know each other. They call it social capital or relationship management, or at Lockheed Martin they even call it horizontal integration. But the benefits that can come to people who know how to do this are really incredible. First of all, if you can convince your manager that you spending time going out to the professional association and to the conferences and meetings will pay off, you can bring back best practices. You can bring back the latest trends, the hottest information in your field, whatever that is. So you can really add to the organizational knowledge and improve the processes at your company. Another great reason for networking internally is to uncork all those bureaucratic bottlenecks, as we like to call them. You know, if you actually know who over in IT to call to solve a problem and you know something about them, you have a bit of a relationship with them, it's much more likely they're going to take your call and worry about your problem. Another reason that managers ought to be encouraging everyone to network is that you can actually expand your knowledge base quite a lot by chatting with other people in other parts of the organization. You can access all kinds of inside information about what's going on and what's coming down the pike. I'm thinking now, for instance, of a woman we interviewed for the Make Your Contacts Count book told us a most fascinating story. She said that in her organization, when she started out about 25 years ago, she had 2 employees, and she was in charge of the whole information services wing of that organization. And she didn't know anyone. She didn't know people in the departments that they were supposed to serve. So what she did is every day at lunch in the cafeteria, she found someone who was sitting alone, and she sat down with them, and she said, well, tell me what you do. And she began to build her network all across the organization. And now that she has built up the organization after 25 years and has 32 employees, she requires that each of them know somebody in every department so that they can know what kinds of services those people are going to be interested in the future, so that they can have somebody to kick around ideas with and problem solve with. So the idea that networking is not working is really superfluous, and everybody needs to get out of their cubicle and build a rich network across the organizational chart as well as outside the organization.
All right, what does the ideal network look like? Is there any way to know when your network is good enough?
That's a good question. Many people in our keynotes and workshops say, well, how many people should I have in my network? Give me a number. Or how many organizations do I have to join? And we've decided through our research and contact with our clients that that's the wrong question to ask. Actually, what we ought to ask is, what does the ideal network actually look like? We think that in the ideal network, you've got professional contacts out in the world, people who do what you do and can give you fresh ideas and information about new trends and new processes. You've got an operational network that's probably right there in your organization. It helps you get your day-to-day job done. It's who you know to call when problems go wrong and you need a little help. Then you've got a wider organizational network that spans the whole organization and goes out across the white space on the organizational chart. And then finally, you've got a personal network. And the surprising thing to us is that when people have contacts developed in each of these four quadrants, as we call them, professional, personal, operational, and organizational, then they have a much richer network. And the interesting thing is that one network feeds the other network. Let me tell you a story now about a woman we interviewed whose name is Deirdre. She made a lateral move from one high-tech company to another, but she wasn't content just to languish in her first-rung management position for very long. Her goal was to become known to people in her corporate hierarchy so they could tap her unused talents or advocate for her when an opening occurred. So she made a list of people that she really wanted to know and people that she wanted to know her. And she used her job as a program chair in her professional association to take the first step. When the professional association program committee decided to do a program on employee retention strategies, she invited one of the people on her list, her second-level director, to be on the panel. So she created several opportunities to talk with this director before the program and to demonstrate her character and competence as she handled the arrangements. She even offered to drive her director to the event because parking was very difficult, and of course she knew then they'd have more time to talk. So her goal operationally was to get promoted quickly. She creates and uses an opportunity in her professional association to teach an influential person in her company, somebody she wouldn't normally have contact with, about her capabilities. And then as an employee who creates her own opportunities for advancement, she really becomes an asset to the organization and is able to have more of an organizational impact. So your network in different areas of your life can really feed on each other. We believe that the network you create is far more complex and dynamic and useful than the organizational chart, although that certainly can't be ignored either.
We'd like to thank Lynn Wayman, author of the book Contacts Count, for being with us today. Thanks, Lynn. Yes, now it's time for You've Been Spotted, where we interview random people who are attending a workshop or seminar at one of our five executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website at www.amanet.org. Take it away, Kevin.
Today I visited AMA seminar Principles of Professional Selling to ask participants how they make networking work for them.
I actually go old school and I have a Rolodex. So I have, with my Rolodex, probably over 500 people in my Rolodex. I run a corporate mentoring program, so my Rolodex contains CEOs, it contains corporate leaders, head of foundations.
Let's talk about social events and networking events. You know, those can be very intimidating for people going into a room where they hardly recognize anybody.
Sure. I mean, I think part of it is getting, as you know, I'm learning even in the workshop I'm in, part of it is asking them to talk, asking questions. So, because everybody loves talking about themselves. I think people hate being the first one to talk about themselves. So when you ask questions, I find it's a lot easier to engage somebody. I also run a program that I'm very proud of and I have passion around. So it's an easy way to kind of connect with people.
It's interesting. I seem to just have the right connection with somebody by happen chance. Sometimes it's just luck that you meet up with somebody or you're at the right place at the right time to, you know, like one of my key customers happened to be on a flight that I was on several months back. So I was able to sit adjacent to him and, you know, really have some good quality one-on-one time. A lot of it is luck. A lot of it is sometimes seeking out the individual for dinner appointments or, you know, after hours activities, things of that nature.
It's really the first 30 seconds when you're in front of a person that they form an opinion of you, and that's going to decide whether they want to interact with you or not. And I've been taught through AMA's courses that even when you're on the phone doing cold calling, that first 20 seconds that you talk to the person is the most important. They're going to formulate whether they want to continue talking to you or just say, sorry, I don't have any needs at this time, and get you off the phone. So I've been taught gold nuggets from the instructors that aren't in the books that they use to be successful, because they're in sales too and they've been in sales for a lot of years. They've given little gold nuggets what to say in the first 20 seconds of your phone call, how to have inflections, how to say it that's going to increase your likelihood of getting that person to want to interface with you and talk more and you know, potentially meet with you. And before the AMA training, I would just say, this is Joe from Company X, we make this, I know you make this, I'd really like to have a call with you, just to go, you know, it was monotone, it was boring, I wouldn't visit myself. To get one visit, I'd have to make 10 to 12 calls, and literally, when I came home from my first AMA class, the next day, I made 3 cold calls on the phone, and I was 2 for 3 as far as getting an appointment just from the cold call.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.